You're listening to Men's Total Health. Call in now to ask about men's health with Dr. McGuire from the Walter Center of the North Shore University Health Center.
Welcome to the Men's Total Health Show. My name is David Hochberg. I am your host. I'm here with Dr. McGuire, Michael McGuire, from North Shore. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
I'm hitting all the buttons here. I want to make sure that you are there. Why don't you introduce yourself, I always introduce you. Why don't you just introduce yourself? Who are you? Where do you work? What's your phone numbers? All that. I know you're broadcasting from the John and Carol Walter Urological Center in Glenview. And why don't you tell us what the hospital's name is? You're the chief urologist. Where you're the chief urologist? And you set the show up, my friend. You've been doing this long enough.
I'm Mike McGuire. I'm chief of urology at the at North Shore University Health System, and we are a four-campus system. We go to Glenbrook Hospital, Evanston Hospital, Highland Park, and Skokie, and then we have satellite centers at many other places. We are a comprehensive urologic center, and our center is the John and Carol Walter Center at Glenbrook Hospital. You can reach us, any of my partners. We're all fellowship-trained, board-certified urologists, 847-503-3000. We're here to treat you, all of you, for your urologic needs, and we specialize in treating the whole patient, not just their disease.
We're going to be talking about the risks of prostate cancer on today's show, so if you're interested in the topic or know anybody else that's interested in the topic, please stay tuned. But before we get into that, Doc, I was in an accident yesterday, driving back from WGN, actually. I was in a cab, seat belted, and some lady blew through a stop sign, and it was headlight to headlight, and the Audi A4 that she was driving looked a lot worse than the Pishke cab that I was in. But what type of concerns do men have that get into car accidents? I mean, this is just, it just happened to me less than 24 hours ago. I'm fine, a little sore. Well, not a little, but, you know, but I'm sore, popping a couple of Advils, not feeling real comfortable, but, you know, nothing's broken, thank God. I'm still walking under my own power. What kind of concerns can car crashes or any type of accident that would impact the men's urological health in the future?
So in deceleration injury, so the real problem is you're going fast and then you stop going real fast. That's why car accidents are bad or things like that. The usual injuries, if they occur, are quite sudden. And we have people who rupture their bladders that way, who can, if your bladder is full and your seatbelt's across there, as it pulls tight, you can actually rupture your bladder that way. You can do damage to your kidneys and things like that. But most of these occur suddenly. And they are at that time, and it depends how bad the accident is. And we're glad that you're doing fine. The reality is, urologically, it's highly unlikely you're going to have any problem related to that.
So hypothetical situation, I get into the accident, I go take a leak, and there's blood. Something to be concerned about?
That's when you go see go to the emergency room, and they'll evaluate you. And that's one of the things that we as urologists are on our boards is, what are the indications for evaluating you, and how do you figure this out? And for kids, it's different than adults and things like that. But if you see blood in the urine after a trauma, you need to be evaluated.
Really? Okay. Well, yeah, just wanted to bring that up because it's topical. It's real. It just happened less than 24 hours ago. I feel sorry for the cab driver and the lady who destroyed her beautiful 6-month-old Audi A4. And let me tell you, Doc, that Audi A4 could take a hit or could give a hit, and it looked really bad, but she came out okay. So, all right, we're going to be talking about this new study I was reading about a couple of days ago. New study suggesting the following: the risk of prostate cancer reduced by sleeping with many women, but increased by sleeping with many men. Okay, now, when I saw the headline, I'm like, all right, is that geared towards guys? Obviously, it's geared toward guys because guys are the only species that have prostates, right?
You're learning so much.
It's that ACT. It's that 18 on my ACT there, Doc. But having sexual relations or being maybe a homosexual, how does that even help me with that?
Yeah, so let's start at the beginning. So you can't watch the news, and except, of course, WGN news. WGN news is always good, but other people's news are less perfect with this. And every night you come out with something that you have to do to protect your health or you shouldn't do to because it's going to kill you, things like that. And so one of the important factors we have to look at is the quality of the study. And so what does the study really show, and does it really tell you this? So let's talk about this study itself. This study's out of Canada, okay. and they ask a bunch of people from Montreal, and they said, all right, how many people did you have sex with over the years?
All right, can I ask you a quick question? I mean, was this like random walking up to people on the street corner, or is this like people that are coming to see urologists in Montreal?
So this is 3,000 people,
okay.
who are 3,000 men who are with this, who have been followed for the last 5 years. Now, the interesting thing is they talk about their last 30 years of your life. So these are guys who are discussing, okay, how many partners have I had? And you always want to know, this is not something worth 30 years, so every time you make a notch in your bedpost, you let these people know that there's a new partner or something like that. This is all based on people's memories of what they're thinking of.
Okay.
All right. But they're looking at this and they find 1,500 people who have prostate cancer and 1,600 people who didn't have prostate cancer. And then they compare them to look at this. And so the first study is that when we as scientists, medical scientists, look at data, we look at the different types of studies. There are studies where we look at two groups, and it's called a double-blind randomized study. And this is the best kind of data it is. This is the kind of stuff you look at in the New England Journal or JAMA or things like that. And these are studies where they try and control for all the different variables and say, if you do this, what is the result?
Okay.
All right. And those are great studies, and those have the most power and the most likely to be true. And then they decrease in value with each study down to something like this, where these are people commenting on their own sexual activity. So you don't know how truthful people are.
Can't prove it. There's no way to prove it.
No way to prove it. And it's retrospective thought about this. So does this help us in any way? The answer is, this is kind of interesting, but in no way should I ever tell somebody, go out and, you know, go out and sleep with 18 women tonight. I'm not going to give you a prescription for that, because that's not really what this says at all.
If that was the case, I'd be like, where can I get a prescription for that? I'd go to my wife, listen, honey, the doctor ordered it, baby. I gotta sleep with 15 women. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then I'd have to try and find 15 women who'd sleep with me.
Well, that's a whole other. I don't care about that. You give me, right. I got the prescription. I'm good to go. So they asked these 3,000 men or 3,100 men. 1,600 had cancer, prostate cancer. 1,500 didn't. But I mean, how much of a scientific study is this? I mean, you're going off of people's.
It is really. It's more fun and interesting than it is reality. Okay, so that the answer is this something which we can? We always try to look for the mechanism. Why does this make sense?
Right,
and we know in other studies have looked at a correlation between how often men ejaculate and how likely they are to get prostate cancer. Again, these are retrospective studies where guys think back to how often they ejaculate. And so this study talked about how many sexual partners you had, but didn't really say that whether that led to one of their thoughts was if you have more female partners, you're going to be more sexually active, have more ejaculation. Well, there's been two studies in the past, one out of Harvard where they looked at almost 30,000 men, and they said that men who ejaculated 21 times or more a month had a 33% lower risk of prostate cancer compared to men who ejaculated 7 times or less a month for their lifetime. All right. So if you kept the system clean, almost every day, it's less likely than if you're doing it 2 to 3 times a week. And then they did a similar study in Australia, which was almost identical. So the bottom line was that previously we thought it was the number of ejaculations which decreased the likelihood of cancer. Now, this study says it's the number of partners you have, but in completely contrary mode is how many male partners you have. And so that doesn't really make any sense to anybody.
To me it would be, licensed or financed by a homophobic organization that hated homosexuals and say, oh, look, you have sex with if a man has sex with a man, your prostate, your chances for prostate cancer goes up. I don't understand that. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't. The mechanism doesn't make sense.
Right.
And if you read the study, you see these people, they predict possible mechanisms for why this works. And it's all just pulling it out of various orifices because it's just not really based on any science or any good data. This is not how we should look at cancer. And we see these kind of reports every day in the paper or on the news. And so the question is, what should you do? How, if you're listening to this radio program and you hear on the news, all right, well, the first question is, where is it from? If it's from JAMA, if it's from the New England Journal, then it's likely to really impact on your life. This was published in Cancer Epidemiology, which is a journal I've never heard of. So I'm not saying it's a bad journal or things like that, but it's not something that you're going to change your day-to-day care of patients with.
Would it be similar to when a terrible movie comes out and the only people that are telling you how great it is people that you've never heard of before?
Exactly.
The greatest movie I've ever seen, WOW Magazine, 5 stars, and everybody's like, yeah, don't even waste the price of admission. You might as well go, run over your foot with your car instead of seeing this movie. And they just start loading up the screen with some made-up type of endorsements for how great the movie was, even though the movie sucked. Is that similar?
And you've got to look at where it's from, and you got to look at, do the headlines really match? Is it really proving what you're saying? And does it make sense? There's always that understanding that, something has got to make sense. And why more ejaculations are good if you're with a woman, but it's not good if you're with a man, makes no sense.
Listen, I've been married twice now. I'm still married the second time. And I know what I know, right? And I'm just thinking, If I switch teams, I'd be having sex every night, having pizzas, watching a ball game, having sex, going to sleep. So, if they interviewed me, I'd be rolling. I'd be probably averaging 31 a month, and I'd be pretty consistent because I'm just a male whore there, Dr. McGuire.
Yeah, you got to think about the other opposite. So what they discussed is that if you've never had sex, that your likelihood of cancer increased.
Okay, now wait a minute. Okay, so using that theory, right? Every Catholic priest, okay, subtract the masturbation.
The good moral Catholic priest,
right? Because they're dedicated to God and doing God's work. Then I would have to think that somebody should do a study on prostate cancers of Catholic priests and people.
And we have no data that suggests that they're more likely to have prostate cancer.
There you go. So I bring in common sense into the mix, and you could flush this study down the toilet, right? Because then under that scenario, then the propensity of Catholic priests who are celibate to have prostate cancers if they're not taking care of themselves in the bathroom should be off the charts high and would be a job hazard to be a Catholic priest.
Absolutely. And so these are the kind of things you want to look at when you're interpreting these studies and to figure that out and say, does this really make sense and where does it go? And while it's exciting to see a thing that says that I'm supposed to sleep with 20 or more women for my own health, the reality is that's not true. And so that you'll see all this kind of exciting news stuff in the paper, but make sure you interpret it appropriately.
312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. 312-521-8600. You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show, sponsored by the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital. We're on the phone with us is the Chief of Urology at North Shore University Health Systems, Dr. Michael McGuire. If you want to reach Dr. McGuire or the other fine board-certified, well-trained doctors, cutting-edge trained doctors, you know, working on cutting-edge technology at the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital, give them a call at 847-503-3000, 847-503-3000. And you'll get all the information there. You could also go to WGN.FM to download a podcast of this show about 4 o'clock and previous shows. You could go there right now and download a podcast of the show. So let's break into other types of studies, Doctor. So if the study doesn't come from the New England Medical, what is it again?
New England Journal of Medicine.
New England Journal of Medicine. That's very highly respected. That's kind of like the Wall Street Journal of medical journals, would you?
Absolutely. It's probably the highest. There's one from London called Lancet. There's the Journal of the American Medical Association, or JAMA. These are, or Cancer. There's some very high powered ones that, you know, when they come out, your doctor is going to pay attention. When something comes from clinical epidemiology, your doctor may read it just for fun, but it's not going to change what they do.
Is this a monthly journal, doctor? Is this a weekly journal? I mean, how often does the journal come out? And is it readily accessible to the public if they want to read up on different types of topics?
Sure they are. And nowadays, you can get them all on the internet. You do have to pay for them, but most of the articles are summarized and things like that. New England Journal and JAMA often come out weekly, and then there's specific for your specialty, so like the Journal of Urology comes out once a month, which I know you read cover to cover.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's definitely nighttime reading for me because it's better than the NyQuil. Let's talk about cancers. And
all right.
What exactly is cancer?
So let's start out with the simple thing. So when we developed, we had to have a method for healing ourselves. All right? You get cut, your tissue gets damaged, it's got to fix itself. So your body has a mechanism to fix itself. Well, if this healing mechanism goes awry, then basically you get cellular growth out of control. And cellular growth out of control is part of it's a normal process. It's just healing and things like that. But the mechanisms which control it are affected by many different things. Some of it's genetics. As we had Dr. Helfand on before,
right.
There are people whose genes predict that they're more likely to get cancer. Now, not everybody who has those genes get cancer because it's a combination of the genes and what affects them. We call it seed and soil. So you need to have the right soil for something to grow, and then you need to have the right seed to be planted for this cancer to grow. And this affects every part of your body. And the number one predictive factor for all cancers is aging. The older you get, the more likely is that there's going to be some problem which goes wrong with this healing process, the normal turnover of cells.
Is there something that people can do to 100% avoid cancer, to put a shield up? I mean, is there something, drink more water, don't drink
die.
This? Die. Okay.
There you go.
Dr. McGuire says die. One way not to get cancer is to die. Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day. You can get a download of podcast of the show in about 5 seconds. 312-521-8600. Yes, sir.
As we get better at treating cancer, as we get better at treating heart disease, it is highly likely that cancer rates are going to actually go up. Cancers are a normal expectation, and as I said, the older you get, the more likely it is to be. If you don't die of heart disease in your 50s or 60s, and you live long enough, then you're probably going to get a cancer because it's just a normal part of cellular turnover. So can you prevent cancers? No. Is it something that we see all the time? Are there certain activities which absolutely cause cancers? Absolutely. So first and foremost, smoking. All right, so we know smoking is associated with lung cancer. It's our relationship to bladder cancer, which is something that we treat at the Walter Center, is much higher, actually, than its correlation with lung cancer. So you can get, so if you want to prevent getting cancer, don't smoke. That's absolutely an important thing to do with this. Then there's all the exposures you get at work. There are certain things like hair dyes or paints, exposures and things like that, which are classically associated with cancer. So staying away from certain solvents and things like that are bad things leading to the development of cancer.
Is there some things that people should be aware of, to like any short tail signs, like I might have cancer? Are they not getting enough sleep? Are they getting enough sleep but they're always tired? Are they paler? I mean, is there any like warning signs that people, I you know, do the self test if you're a woman in the shower, you know, with the breast to make sure you don't have the breast cancer? But is there any one or two type of triggers that, you know, I'm getting really tired, or you know what, I don't have any energy, or you know what, I'm getting irritable? Are there any like triggers to that people should be concerned about that should get to see their doctor?
Okay, so the first thing is that we want to find cancers at this era. We find most of them before they cause symptoms. If you wait, and even though, as we've discussed multiple times, men are Neanderthals, we need to get into the doctor to be seen. You want to find things before you have symptoms. And every part of your body can become cancer. You can get skin cancer. You can get colon cancer. You can get bladder cancer. You can get kidney cancer. You can get lung cancer. So all these things can occur, and they all present somewhat differently. We treat several specific kinds of cancers, really just four kinds of cancers in the Walter Center that we see every day, but that all of these present differently. However, in the end, if cancers unfortunately spread and cause problems, the end result is weight loss. You waste away. Bone pain, they spread to bones. And it's not arthritis. I feel stiff when I get up, I get worse. It's the pain gets worse as the day goes on. It's horrible pain. You need things like narcotics and things like that. Those are the end signs of cancer. We want to find people much earlier than that, when we can cure their cancer.
We're going to be talking about different types of cancer coming out of the break in about 5 minutes. We're going to head into break, but I just want you to address, and the ones we're going to be talking about are prostate cancer, bladder cancer, testis cancer, and kidney cancer. And in college, I graduated with a kid in college who had testicular cancer. And he, you know, one got removed, and he was, you know, he ran with one wheel for the rest of his life, couple of kids, no problems, right? And is there one type of cancer that's more aggressive or more like red line, where you got less of a chance of beating it than another out of these four, you know, previously mentioned: prostate, bladder, testis, and kidney? Is there one that you would rather have least than the other three?
Well, we're fortunate. Most urologic cancers are very treatable and often very curable. Testicular cancer is one of the greatest success stories in modern medicine. We have taken it, if you walk in the door with testicular cancer, you have a 99% cure rate that you will live a long and productive life.
Why so? And again, I've got two nuts. I got two testicles, right? Is there something that pain, sharp pain, it's bigger than it was before down there?
Hard spots. So testicular cancer presents with a hard spot in the testicle. If you ever feel, so the testicle is the circle that makes testosterone and makes sperm. And guys are supposed to do testicular self-exam. You check that, and you check the entire testicle, and if you ever feel anything firm that you call a urologist right away.
Uh-huh.
A hard spot in the testicle is cancer until proven otherwise.
Really?
Now, testicular cancer is typically a disease of young men. The worst kind of testicular cancer, still 99% curable, is typically peaks at age 25. Another kind of...
Hang on one sec. Why is it a disease of young men?
It's, you know, disease occurs. You know, that there are things that just happen. We don't know why. We just know that this is when these things occur. And so typically age 25 for this, age 35 for a less aggressive kind of testicular cancer. But the reality is testicular cancer, while it can occur, is very rare after age 40.
Really?
Yeah, and that's just the way it is. And
how do you treat it without losing a testicle? Because my guy and my buddy in college, had to get a testicle removed. So
usually we do, because the testicle has a barrier on it, and chemotherapy is not very effective at getting across into that. So usually we have to take the testicle off, and we do that for a couple reasons. First of all, to cure it, but also to figure out what kind it is, and that leads to further discussion of how to treat these cancers.
So can you take it out, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but can you take it out with modern technology, remove the testicle from the body, treat it, fix it, put it back, or once you take it out?
You could, but most of the time, if you've got a normal other one, you just need one.
Is there any truth or falseness to if you open the body in an area that has cancer, you're making it worse?
Absolutely no.
Absolutely no.
Absolutely wrong. So there's no proof that is going to occur, and it's absolutely the first step in curing somebody with testicular cancer.
And again, I'm not trying to be funny, but are there prosthetics for testicles? You know, guy is used to having two, right? He likes to roll around with two because he likes the feel. Are there prosthetic testicles?
Oh, absolutely. You know, for a guy like you, we'd use a bowling ball, but
right.
You know, for normal. But
right.
For typically, absolutely.
Preferably the 16-pound one with the no fingers in it, because
exactly.
That's the way I roll.
There are prosthetic, absolutely, things that you can put in. We don't put them in that often because most people, if you get somebody to the point where they're finding out you have one or two testicles, you're okay. So most guys don't elect for that. But if it really bothers you, that is certainly something we can do for you.
You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing a prosthetic testicle. Have you got them at your office or no?
Of course I do.
All right. Well, that sounds like a dinner over at PJ's again, or EJ's, wherever the heck we went. 312-521-80. Just roll that out during salad time, right?
I also hang that on my Christmas tree in the holidays too. So you know.
Forget about the star on top of it. You're going with the prosthetic testicle. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. You could go to WGN.FM to download a podcast of this show and previous shows. You could send this show to all your friends, family, coworkers by posting on Facebook, LinkedIn, and forwarding it via email. You could download the link and send it in an email. You could also call Dr. McGuire at the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital, located in Glenview, Illinois, at 847-503-3000 for all your health needs, not just men, but it's also women. 847-503-3000. I know in the show it's called Men's Total Health, but women also pee, doctor. Last time I looked, I ran into a lady that was about ready to go into the men's room. I had to take a quick pick stop on the way into the men's room before the show, and I saw a lady, you know, rolling down the wrong hallway, and I'm like, unless you want to go in the urinal here, sweetheart, you got to go, just take a left, go down the hall. So women have got the same issues as men, just not with the prostate because they don't have a prostate, and they need to have their daily checkups too, right, Doc?
Correct, and, you know, we're going to talk about kidney cancer and bladder cancer a little bit afterwards, after the break, and women are absolutely at risk for those things also.
All right, you're listening to the Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM, phone line, text line, 312-521-8600. Take a quick break, we'll be right back.
And now back to Men's Total Health with David Hochberg and Dr. Michael McGuire.
312-521-8600, 312-521-8600, website WGN.FM, download podcast of the show. Doc, I don't know if you heard about this, but we're also going to be streaming video of the show So thank God you're in Glenview right now, because nobody would want to watch. And you know, you got to,
we can come in and I can demonstrate proper testicular exam on you.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Bend over and cough, and I can show you the proper way to give a semen sample at a McDonald's. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. Go to WGN.FM. But we're streaming video now, folks. If you have any questions, give us a call. 312-521-8600. Phone and text line. I want to get back to my accident, because it's all about me, doctor. You know, I'm
all right. Well, that's what's most important.
You know, I'm a narcissist, but I'm having flashbacks, and like, it could have been bad. I mean, if she didn't hit, if the headlights didn't meet, because it was like a headlight accident type deal.
Yeah.
And this lady blew right through the stop sign, you know, completely, you know, whatever. But if it was T-boned, I mean, I could see how guys could get their private parts racked up pretty damn good. I mean, have you ever had cases of mangled genitalia due to a car accident? And I'm not trying to be funny or gross. I just have flashbacks to where I was, what I was doing. I was telling the guy where to turn, and all of a sudden, whammo. I'm just like, what the hell was that? But have you seen guys pretty much dismembered so down there or
no? You know, the reality is, if you get hurt so bad that is also hurt, you're probably dead. And the reality is, it's the other things that if you're going to hit that. Fortunately for us, that area is pretty well protected. That's why it's where it's at, is to do that.
Okay.
But certainly other accidents occur in those areas, and someday we can have a show about that, and we'll see how well you can keep your lunch in.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm sure that's why we do it at 2, to give the people, all of our listeners, at least 2 hours digest or 1 hour digestion time. 312-521-8600, phone and text line. Talking about cancer, started the show talking about a ridiculous study coming out of some ridiculous rag, newspaper, journal, whatever, talking about the increased risk of prostate cancer. Was increased if men have sex with men as opposed to having sex with multiple women partners. And, you know, we talked about that. So if you want to rehash that or recap that and hear that interview and that segment of the show, download a podcast of the show at WGN.FM.
I think this is actually promoting gay marriage, because if I know anything, that nothing stops you from having sex more than being married. But
and that was from Dr. McGuire, and that I'm not touching that at all. Let's get to kidney cancer. Let's get to prostate cancer and bladder cancer. We talked about testis cancer, and it's predominantly in younger men. And once you clear at 40, you've got one cancer you could cross off and a bunch of other ones to look forward to. But how come it's a young man's disease? How come it's a young man's cancer? Why?
Cancers have to do with cellular turnover. And because the testicles make a lot of sperm, there's a lot of turnover in that area. And so that is thought to be the most likely reason that this typically occurs at a young age.
Because the younger you are, the more sperm you're generating?
Yeah.
You're like an ever-ready battery bunny there. You want to bang the tambourine.
David Hochberg.
You want to bang something, especially the tambourine. All right, let's talk about prostate cancer. We're going to get to prostate, kidney, and bladder cancer. And prostate cancer, we talked about, it's pretty treatable if detected early. And let's talk about...
Once again, how do these present? How do you, as a listener of this show, if you're worried about yourself or your husband and things like that, what do they need to do? So we recommend starting at age 50, unless you're African-American or you have a family history of prostate cancer, then you should go see a doctor every year. Get a PSA test.
Starting at 40, right, because of African-Americans?
Yep, starting at 40 for African-Americans or family history. Get a PSA test, which is a blood test. Not a perfect test. It needs to be interpreted correctly, but it's the best test we have to date. Get a PSA and a rectal exam.
Well, hang on, doctor. 630 just texted in. How come black men have to go when they're 40? And that's just a genetic thing, right?
You're
not discriminating against African-Americans. It's just you have history and data to show that African-Americans, get prostate cancer a lot younger than all the other types of races out there.
They typically present at a more advanced or with a more aggressive cancer, and our goal is to prevent that by finding it earlier, and that's why we recommend they start looking for it earlier.
Great question. Text line, phone line, 312-521-8600. You can text and phone us at the same number. Keep them coming. That was a great question, 630. We covered that about 3-4 weeks ago, Doc. So 630, if you want to download a podcast of that show, we talked about a lot more things going into why African-Americans need to be tested sooner. But, you know, we got a couple other cancers we want to cover here. So you keep going on the prostate cancer, Doc.
So you need to see a doctor once a year, blood tests, rectal examination. And then these need to be interpreted intelligently. It's not yes or no. It's not black or white. We need you to see somebody who understands. So if your doctor says, oh, you've got an elevated PSA, you need this, come see an expert. Come see somebody like us at the John and Carol Walter Center who will put this in context of your whole body and figure out what the right step is to you. It's not nearly as simple as, oh, your blood sugar is 210, you have diabetes. That's not true with PSAs and rectal examinations. So it's very important that you see somebody who are highly skilled at looking at this kind of thing.
So I turned 48 on Christmas Day. So in 2 years...
Hey, two Jews born on Christmas
that's
Day.
That's right. But I'm not as good with wood as my friend Jesus. But So I've got another 2 years, I got another 26 months before I come to see you. Should I come directly to you at the age 50, or do I go to my general practicing doctor that I go to when I have whatever else wrong with me to see first? Who should I go to get my prostate examined at 50?
It depends on a lot of people. It depends what kind of guy you are. You know, some people like to see their internists, and their internists are very skilled at this. Some people say, hey, I'm really worried about this. I just want to go see an expert. And I do a lot of screening for prostate cancer. I see you for 5 minutes once a year and just check your prostate, get your PSA, and say everything's cool. I'll see you in a year. Other guys do through their internist, and if their internist finds a problem, then they send them to me. So either way.
So it's a yearly exam at 50. There's no way around it.
Nope.
Great.
Well, you can die.
Well, you could die. I was going to say, right?
You know, that's always an option. Don't forget that.
How do I get rid of this headache? Take this aspirin. I don't want to. Then die.
But okay. I've made mortgages with you, and you know, you said, I'm like, oh, why do I have to fill out all this paperwork? And you're like, well, then you don't get the mortgage. You know, that's how it works.
It's the golden rule, baby. Them with the gold make the rules. If you want to
forward, and yes, it makes no sense, but that's the way it's got to be, and that's right. How it is here.
Shut up, bend over, and spread your legs. It'll take
exactly.
A second. Okay, I get it. So, all right, so we talked about prostate cancer. Any type of new treatments on the horizon? I know doctor, I forgot his name already, with the gene technology.
Absolutely. Okay. Every day there's new forms of treatment for prostate cancer and better testing to determine who doesn't need to be tested. You know, we have the largest series at the Walter Center of men with prostate cancer who were absolutely not treating for prostate cancer because we know most men die with but not from their disease. So before you go and have a big surgery, before you have radiation, all these things that have potential side effects, make sure you get a second opinion. Talk to somebody about, do I really need to do this? And what are the implications if I do nothing? And so those are very important factors that every man with prostate cancer needs to think about.
312-521-8600, Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM. On the phone with me, broadcasting from the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital in Glenview, Illinois, is the chief urologist at North Shore University Health Systems, Dr. Michael McGuire. Dr. McGuire can be contacted at 847-503-3000, 847-503-3000. We have an email here, a text here from the 224, Doc. How come you're only talking about men and prostate cancer? How come women don't get prostate cancer? I guess it was somebody just tuned in, doesn't really understand what we're talking about, and I know the answer, but I'll leave it to you. How come women can't get prostate cancer, doctor?
The prostate is part of the men's sexual organs. It is something that in development in women, they don't create. It is similar, just like women don't, men can't get uterine cancer, ovarian cancer. That's what happens. Now, women are affected by prostate cancer. The partners have significant amount of stress, and it's something that we work with also, is we work with partners, female or male partners of men with prostate cancer, to make sure that their needs are also met here.
So you have counselors there?
Counselors, and we have mind-body health programs and all kinds of things. So it's very, we understand that they're affected by it, but women don't have a prostate. That's why they don't get prostate cancer. They got their own issues, certainly with ovaries and uteruses and things like that.
Is there any type of one or two top signals that a spouse or a partner should be aware of to maybe indicate that their partner or spouse has prostate cancer?
You know, it's very rare for prostate cancer in this era to present with symptoms. It really is. This is the beautiful thing about progression in medical science, is that when prostate cancer presents with symptoms, the symptoms are almost always weight loss or bone pain. It's the very end stages of prostate cancer, and we really want to find it much before that.
And once you get to that stage, have a nice day, get your things, belongings in order, or no?
There are effective treatments. Men live years, but not decades at that setting.
Okay. Let's move on to bladder cancer. A friend of mine had bladder cancer and wasn't too comfortable with it, doctor. Cancer is not a really fun, enjoyable type of event, but he was in a lot of pain with his bladder cancer.
So bladder cancer comes in two different forms. Both of them typically present with blood in the urine. And if you see blood in your urine, you need to see a urologist. And even if it goes away, you need to go see a doctor and get evaluated for this. That being said, most people...
Well, hang on, because there could, from what I learned is, even though you can't see the actual redness of the blood, there could still be blood in the urine, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so this is urine. We look for it through other mechanisms, microscopic blood, and that's our job. But certainly if you see blood in the urine, symptoms present with this, that's something you go see the doctor for and get evaluated. Typically, all forms of bladder cancer show with blood in the urine, and then our job is to get rid of it. Sometimes bladder cancer is like little polyps that grow up on the inside of the bladder. They're annoyances, they come back, they bleed, but often, most of the time, they never change and you live your life seeing me for periodic checkups and treatment and things like that. But bladder cancer, another variation of bladder cancer, is something where it can be very aggressive. It can eat into the wall of the bladder and can even spread. It can be a very lethal cancer if untreated.
How do you check for it? Is that a blood test? Is that a scope in down the tube that God gave you, as you like to say?
That's exactly right. This is called a cystoscopy, and it's something where we take this very small, flexible tube with a light on the end of it, go through the holes God gave you, and go up and take a look around. It takes about 15 seconds. It sounds horrible, but the reality is I do it 10 to 15 times a day, and almost everybody goes, oh, that was a lot better than I thought it was.
10 to 15 times a day?
Yeah.
I'm glad I do what I do, but okay, hey, we each got our specialties, and you like
hey,
looking
you go
up
in
guys'
there
urethras.
And, you know, and save people's lives. It's
okay,
an,
okay,
it's
so,
a thing
okay,
to do.
So I'm on the table, right? And
yep.
And you go up the tube that God gave us, as you like
right.
to say. And you find something, God forbid. What happens?
If it's something small, mm-hmm. I can often just burn it off in the office. Just take a little thing and buzz it there. If it's bigger than that, then we have to do a similar procedure, but in the operating room with you asleep, where we go and take the scraping of the bladder and get that tumor out. We can do 99% of these all done through your urethral, just transurethrally, and you go home that day and you can't see any cuts on the outside or anything like that. And it is very successful and often cures people.
312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. Great questions. Keep them coming. 312-521-8600. WGN.FM is the place, the website you go to download podcasts of this show. You have it in a PDF form or an MP3 form that you could forward it on to your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors that might have an interest in this topic, because I think if you have a penis, doctor, you would have an interest in this topic. So, you know, men and women, children of all ages, if you want to learn something about what's between your legs and keeping it healthy, just, you know, check out WGN.FM, type in Men's Total Health Show, and you'll get the podcast of this show in about an hour, and podcasts of previous shows are sitting there waiting for you. We have Dr. Michael McGuire, Chief Urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. 847-503-3000 is the phone number you could reach Dr. McGuire and his finely trained staff and board-certified urologist over there in Glenview at the John and Carol Walter Urological Center. Let's talk about, last but not least, we didn't do kidney cancer yet. So how many kidneys? You have two kidneys, right, Doc?
Correct.
And my aunt gave my uncle her kidney because my uncle was a diabetic.
Right.
And he needed a kid because he was going through kidney failure. You know, he's losing parts of his body because of that horrific disease. And she gave, donated a kidney to my uncle, and he lived for another 5, 10, 15 years, whatever. He's now deceased. We still have my aunt, but if you give a kidney and you get cancer, isn't that a little risky there, doctor? You only have two of them.
So the reality is, first of all, kidney cancers, most of the time nowadays, are found entirely incidentally. So you get a CAT scan for something else. So you come to the ER and you've got a colon problem or something like that, or you have a car accident and that you get a CAT scan as part of your car accident. I have one of my favorite patients I see every year, and he's 12 years out now, who was hit by a drunk driver. Oof. And he got into a car accident, broke his arm, and as part of the evaluation, they did a CAT scan, and the CAT scan showed a big kidney tumor. He had no symptoms or anything like that, and so I took his kidney cancer out, and now he's like 12 years out and doing great. So, you know, you rarely hear the good things about drunk driving, but every time I see this guy, I think, you know, this guy's life was saved by that.
But hang on. How did you take it out? I mean, did you go in and surgically remove it? Did you zap it with chemo?
No, what happened? You actually take these out. Kidney cancers are cured only by surgical resection. Now, most of these are small anymore. We're found at an earlier stage. And as we talk about medicine, we want to find things earlier and earlier. And more, we're taking out just part of your kidneys. We do this laparoscopically, so you have all the little holes. You don't have the big holes most of the time. And then we take out part of the kidney. Sometimes we take out the whole kidney. It depends where the tumor is, how big it is, what your other kidney looks like. But it's very common to just take out a little part of the kidney, and that helps people. And so even if you donate one kidney, if you develop cancer, we can typically just take out part of it, and you'll be all right.
I did not know that. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Laparoscopically, is that where they cut the three holes? One hole is for the extraction, one hole is for the camera, one hole is for the medical device? Is that how they roll?
Right. And or sometimes we'll go even further and use something called the Da Vinci robot, which is a specialized machine which allows us to do more advanced surgery inside you with this device where we sit in the corner and control this device, which has basically hands inside you through those little holes.
Wow. So it's like a video game inside your body removing your cancer.
Right.
Wow. You've been listening to the Men's Total Health Show. Doc, we got about 2 minutes left here. Your thought of the week to leave us going into next week, 312-521-8600, phone and text line. You want to reach the doctor, it is 847-503-3000. Gary Meyer coming up in about 7 minutes. So thought of the week, Doc, that everybody could live with until the next show next Wednesday, my friend.
So it's always the same that you're going to hear about this causes cancer, this cures cancer, you need to do this to save your life, or this you need to or is going to kill you if you do this. The reality is most of these articles that you hear on the news or read in the paper are not really great data that you should live your life based on. The reality is good doctors are well-trained. We've never been better at medical care. We've never been better at taking people who have things such as cancer. We know cancer is a scary word, but even in my life of taking care of cancer patients, things have gotten so much better. I used to see people who would die in 6 months who now live 5 or 10 years. These are entirely treatable diseases, often curable, with minimal impact on your life. Don't be afraid of cancer. Be afraid of being too shy to not be in to make sure you don't have cancer. Your doctors are better able to treat you than they've ever been before, and so it's your own fault if you don't go in to see it, because we can really help you.
If you want more information or to schedule an appointment with Dr. McGuire and the other urologists at the John and Carol Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital in Glenview, Illinois, it's 847-503-3000 is the phone number, 847-503-3000. You can download a podcast of the show on WGN.FM and previous shows in about an hour. You could download previous shows now, but this show will be up in an hour. Dr. McGuire is the chief of urology at North Shore University Health Systems. We've been talking about a number of different topics today, a number of different types of cancer, prostate, bladder, testis, kidney. This has been an unbelievable show, doctor, with tons of information. So if people want more information about this show, send them to WGN.FM, or better yet, download the show and email it out, post it on Facebook, LinkedIn, all those places, because the more people that listen to this information, listen to the show and get this information in their hands, the better we all will be. Doctor, thanks for sharing your Wednesday with us. Looking forward to next Wednesday. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
See ya. Bye.